Good morning. It is Monday, August 16th, 2021. And today we're going to be covering part 5 of God's Word concerning the Holy Spirit. So hopefully as we move along in the series on the Holy Spirit, it becomes more evident to our understanding the importance of providing a nourishing environment for the gift that is within us. God's gift is in us, and it is not going anywhere. But what we do with this indescribable gift is ours for the choosing. For instance, are we mindful of Christ in us? Do we go a day without it crossing our minds? Is it like an emergency number we keep in our contact list, where something comes up and all of a sudden we call upon God, we call upon the gift within us? So really, how finely tuned are we to the still small voice? Having the light of God inside us, do we still listen to the darkness? Now, I was thinking about this as I was listening to an old song by Mercy Me. I think it was 2014 or on one of their albums. They had the song Burn, Baby, Burn. And the lyrics are, do we know exactly who we are? We hold the light, but we still listen to the dark. And it tells us that we don't measure up. And it tells us that we'll never be enough. Tell me, do we know exactly who we are? And do we know exactly what we have? Why don't we let it shine while we have the chance? It's not so we can earn our place. We shine because we've been saved by grace. Tell me, do we know exactly what we have? And the answer and the action to these verses are in the chorus of the song, which says, we are the light, light of the world, light up the night. When will we learn? Now is our time. Now is our turn to burn, baby, burn. And then I think of Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent means to boil with heat. Metaphorically, it's used of boiling with love, zeal, wrath, even undesirable emotions. It's used either good or bad. But fervent, it kind of reminds me of the word wrath. It depends on the context, exactly the meaning of whether it's good or bad, because wrath simply is defined the strongest of emotions, the strongest emotion. Well, for mankind in his carnal state, the strongest emotion would be this red-hot anger, just so destructive thinking and such. But God is love. So what would his strongest emotion be? Of course. So wrath is one thing for carnality and evil, but it's another thing for believers and the God of all good. And fervent is kind of like that. You could be boiling with anger, or you could be just boiling over with love. And of course, this Romans 12:11, we want to be boiling over with zeal for the things of God and boiling over with the love of God and letting our light shine. And as verse 11 reads, spiritually, we should be boiling over with the goodness of love and truth. And it's for the purpose of our service to the Lord. Burn, baby, burn, right? Hopefully, our Father, in the presence of the Holy Spirit hidden away in our hearts, is present in all of our mindfulness throughout the day. Because, and this is important, because springing from that mindfulness flows our words and our actions. And those give witness of him, God, that is due all praise and glory. So we have this gift God created in each of us. Then individually, A, we build or exercise ourselves. So B, our spirits are energized. So we're responsible for A, and God is responsible for B. And this is where Romans 12:11 comes into play. Part A, not slothful in business. So we do those things. We get to it. Remember, it was that word, that same word as study. That you spend as much time as you need, but you get on it. So we do those things. We get on those things that grow us and bring our hearts closer in fellowship with our Father. And then part B, the fervent in spirit. Do I know how that works? Could I teach you about that? Not a whole lot, because that is God's part. We don't understand how He gets the Holy Spirit to work within us. But He does provide us with the information that sets us up so that it will fervently work within our lives. When we ask, God gives. And the point most religious people miss, and they're well-intended, I don't mean that as a slight necessarily, but the point most religious people miss in the word is asking. They kind of think that God just does it all without them doing anything, you know, and they toss it up in the air. Well, if it's God's will, well, get to know God's will. It's clear. So I'm going to be the last one to say that anything would be impossible for God. You know, maybe somebody could ask God to do something and they didn't appear to do anything, but I can't see their heart, and God can. Nothing is impossible for Him. And I am saying we know that it is His primary will for us to get on it. But Him, knowing the hearts of individuals as only God can and does, all that He does for people above and beyond His primary will is His business, not ours. We just read the word and we do the prescription, and, you know, His grace and mercy are so way beyond anything we could ever approach in our comprehension. Now, referring back again, which we might do again and again, to 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7, we are to nourish our faith with moral excellence that is praiseworthy. The nourishment, that's the knowledge of God. We feed it to our minds. Our minds receive this food and it digests. It begins to digest these meals of truth, these meals of promises, of encouragement, these meals of warnings. The digestive process nourishes our health. It nourishes the hearts of our minds where we hide the word of God. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So who put that word in? Who ate that word? Well, we, the person that has the word. How many scriptures come to mind in relation to eating the word of God? How about Jeremiah 15:16? I always love these because it really is they're very good analogies. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. So he had a satiating meal. And after a satiating meal from the word of God, the digestion brought to this Jeremiah joy and rejoicing. It brought to his heart joy and rejoicing. And how about this? Anyone for dessert? David had this to report about a sweet tooth, Psalm 119:103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And then Ezekiel 3:1-4. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. Well, the roll is the scroll where the word of God is written. That's what it's referring to. Verse 2. So I closed my mouth and said, I don't like that. No. Verse 2. Ezekiel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And that he caused me to eat, it means he digested that word that I ate so that it nourished my body. Again, what do I have to do with digestion? I just have to do with eating. And when I eat bad stuff, I may need a Tums. But boy, when I eat well, my stomach, the digestion that takes place, the body just is so healthy. Well, it's that way when we're feeding the stomach and our mind, so to speak. Verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. He had a sweet tooth too, huh? Verse 4, and he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with them and speak my words unto them. Now, how would he be able to go and speak God's word to anyone if he had not already eaten it and if God had not already brought about the nourishment to his soul? Back to David. You know, David was not a poor man by any means, nor his son Solomon. They had plenty of that beautiful yellow gold. Yet in Psalm 19:10, David said of the commandments of the Lord, more to be desired are they than fine gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You know, there's nothing wrong with an apple a day, but in the sweetness of the word, we receive the nutrition to increase our endurance against lustful appetites for junk food, for spiritual junk food. So even in our physical intake of food, we should focus on fueling our bodies and not so much on satiating that addiction to the salts and the sugars that we find in junk food. And, you know, speaking of junk food, it's everywhere. You know, you don't see vegetables at the checkout. No way. It's everywhere. We are in this world whether we like it or not. Here we are. So you might say that our exposure to just about any and everything is high on the pollution scale. Because of David's diet, despite his exposure to the toxic culture, he said in Psalm 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that, this is why he did it, that I might keep thy word. Psalm 141:4, incline not mine heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. And his son Solomon had these wise words, Proverbs 4:14-15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. In other words, just say no. And keep saying no. The more often we say no to our exposures to evil, the more resolute we become in our determination to avoid it and to turn and walk away. Hiding from evil doesn't build us up. You know, staying at home, being a hermit. But the mental act of exposure and refusing it again and again, that's who we become. It goes beautifully with Jesus saying in John 16:33, "Those things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall," S-H-A-L-L, "ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, the word patience in this verse is the same Greek word as patience in 2 Peter 1:6, which was part of our building up, where we place one divine nature on top of another, all the parts working together. It is what we build upon by exercise, saying no to the path of evil, saying no and walking past the traps without this curiosity or interest. That builds patient endurance in our lives, in our decision making. The noisome pestilence of evil is everywhere we go, and the subtle traps are built into every single thing. Because it's the world, and in the world you shall have tribulation. It's built into everything. There's no need to be frustrated. There's no need to fret. Like, what's this? Hasn't God already fully explained it to us? What is out there? We know before our feet ever touch the floor in the morning. That is why, with our nourished and healthy minds, we pray. We speak blessings upon our day. We rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Then we put our feet on the floor in victory. You know, this is the true meaning of a familiar adage from the 90s. Remember when we all used to say, when all of the marketing experts and the gurus that knew all about being popular in this world and being successful, "Seize the day." They would say, "Seize the day." Well, this is how God wants us to seize the day. This is how we do it. It's not about, you know, chanting mantras of aspiration. Proverbs 16:17, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserves his soul. God has instructed us in the preservation of our souls. Again in Romans 12, let's start in verse 9, because here we will see the practical side of bringing into fruition our moral excellence. What moral excellence looks like. Starting in verse 9, Romans 12, "Let love be without dissimulation." That means it's not one way one time and another way another time. It's not two-faced. "Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another." See, this sounds so much like 2 Peter chapter 1, those verses 5 through 7. "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation," not fretful, patient, not surprised at the injustice. No, we're patient in tribulation because we already know about it. "Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Verse 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be nourished with the knowledge of God. Be nourished with his knowledge. In that, we gain wisdom and understanding. Our lives can then yield as they ought to yield, as 2 Peter 1 talked about. We have the fuel to function according to our calling. Neglecting these moral excellencies we've read the last 3 weeks, we yield no return that glorifies God. And it's logically so because of our inactivity or our unhealthy diet. In Proverbs 24:20, for there shall be no reward to the evil. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. So for us, our ultimate reward, of course, await us at the return of Christ. But in this life, these moral excellencies spawn or flourish with fruitfulness in our lives right now. In Proverbs 15:14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. They eat the silly stuff they hear in the world. They eat at the checkout line, just whatever is there, they gobble it down like it was, you know. And what do they have at the checkout line? They have junk food for your belly and junk food for your mind. That's the checkout lane. But the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So they digest foolishness. And what comes back out? Foolishness on steroids. 2 Peter 1:9 defines the situation. Lacking nourishment for our spiritual lives, we are spiritually blind. We cannot see beyond the nose on our face. The reason is, without nourishment, we forget the out-of-our-mind amazement of wonderment and admiration at what God did on Pentecost. We forget, and it's easy to do, if we do not nourish ourselves. And this is wonderful. As Paul prayed for the believers he shepherded, listen to this wonderful prayer, Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This is just great. This is certainly should be our prayer among the brethren for one another. It certainly is the prayer that Larry and I have for each and every one of you and for all of our brethren, whether they go to a church down the street, whether they're alone somewhere out in the USA, not around believers, but they tap in by teachings or they watch something on TV. If they're born again, this is the prayer for those people. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment or moral discernment. His prayer was that they would see that their lives would yield as they ought, that their heart would be fertile for the word and for the working, therefore, of the Holy Spirit. Because that's where the Holy Spirit is going to work. It's going to be able to work. It's not clogged up in cellulite. It's not clogged up in junk food that's just settled into our minds. It's going to be able to have to bring us information and impress it upon our minds. Verse 10, that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, Paul prayed that their lives would have moral excellency and that they would glorify God. And then verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We are truly to the glory and praise of God when we are fervent in the Spirit. Paul prayed that they would nourish themselves and be fervent in the Spirit, that they wouldn't be sluggishly inactive in their business of spiritually feeding themselves. How can we serve the Lord if we do not give and provide the Holy Spirit a wonderful space in our lives, in our hearts, in that recess of our mind where all of our words and actions flow from, to give that Holy Spirit this space to work? What we do is simple, but what God does is not simplistic or one-dimensional. He looks upon the simple actions issuing from the hearts of people, and when those intentions and motivations are godly, He works all the things together for good that we cannot see, but that He clearly promises in His Word. Our simple motivation is to the praise of His glory. God bless you.